And now we move on to the Mercury for Tuesday the 16th of April with the headline, Pub Blaze Attacker Detained in Mental Health Unit. A man who doused two young friends in petrol and set them alight as they sat drinking in a pub beer garden will be detained indefinitely in a mental health unit. Mitchell Dean was sentenced yesterday for the notorious attack on Russell Banks and Robert Lazesk in the Rainbow and Dove, Charles Street, Leicester City Centre in October 2011. Basildon Crown Court heard yesterday that Dean, 22, was on the run from police for a similarly horrific crime in Essex at the time. The court also heard Dean suffer from paranoid schizophrenia and was obsessed with demons, witchcraft and setting fires. Dean doused Russell, 22, and Robert, 21, with petrol and set them both alight as they were sitting with friends in the early hours of Tuesday, the 25th of October 2011. Russell spent 6 weeks in a specialist burns unit in Nottingham Hospital, most of it under sedation, and has had a series of skin grafts. He is still undergoing treatment for the injuries to his face, arms and hands. Robert's injuries to his arms and face were less serious, and he was discharged from hospital a week after the incident. Dean had pleaded guilty to two counts of grievous bodily harm at an earlier hearing in relation to the attacks on Russell and Robert. After yesterday's hearing, Russell's family said in a statement, "We are pleased this troubling time for our family has finally come to an end. However, when we think of the years of recovery Russell has ahead, we cannot help but feel any sentence would have been insufficient to give back what's been taken from us, but at least we can get some closure at this point. We would like to thank Leicestershire Police for their unending support and hard work helping to bring this man to justice." Robert, who thanked police, his family and staff at Nottingham's Queen's Medical Centre, said, "We are not the victims, we are the survivors. I wish everyone a safe journey through this world because no one should ever go through hell while being alive." Detective Inspector Simon Preston led the investigation. He said, "This has truly been one of the most horrific cases I've dealt with. Dean had no regard for the consequences of his actions, and we are pleased he pleaded guilty and saved the victims the ordeal of having to relive the events of October 2011. Russell and Robert have been extremely brave throughout, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank them for their cooperation. I hope the verdict and sentence helps them move on in their lives." Dean was also sentenced under the Mental Health Act yesterday for an offence in Essex 6 days before the Rainbow and Dove attack. Knowing the male victim of that attack, who had reportedly spurned Dean's sexual advances, was seriously injured, Dean ran away and ended up in Nottingham, where he had previously studied. He travelled by taxi to Leicester, specifically asking to be taken to the Rainbow and Dove, an established part of the city's gay scene. However, the court didn't find evidence that in either case Dean had been motivated by homophobia. Leicestershire Police's hate crime officer Darren Goddard said, "While there is no evidence to suggest this was a homophobic hate crime, the impact this has had on lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people was immense. Hopefully this conviction will help to reassure people that Leicestershire Police do take all crime seriously." Sentencing Dean, Judge David Owen Jones said, "The physical and psychological effect on these young men has been enormous. Their lives have been shattered at a very young age. There were three men who had so much to look forward to in life. Their courage and determination in facing the difficulties that have happened to them is remarkable and, if I may say so, inspirational."
Better children's health a priority. A better deal for children is top of the agenda for the city's new Health and Wellbeing Board. The board, chaired by Leicester City's Deputy Mayor, Councillor Rory Palmer, has been set up as part of the national reforms to the NHS. It is also going to tackle life expectancy, which is poor in the city compared to many other places in the country. Other priorities include help for the elderly, those with dementia, and people with long-term health conditions. The aims are set out in a 3-year plan called Closing the Gap. In his foreword, Councillor Palmer said, "I am determined that Leicester's Health and Wellbeing Board, working with our partners, will lead to a renewed ambition for health in Leicester. In our city, there are very serious health challenges. Levels of obesity are too high. Too many children suffer tooth decay. We do not meet targets for physical activity or healthy eating. And levels of serious conditions such as heart disease, respiratory conditions and diabetes are too high. The plan was formally adopted at the first meeting of the board, which includes councillors, members of NHS organisations, council officers, representatives from Leicestershire Police and from the new health watchdog, Health Watch, last week. Ideas for improving children's health include schemes to increase activity levels in the 14 plus age group. The board is also considering looking at ways of cutting the increasing number of fast food outlets in the city and working with existing outlets to make food healthier. Another aim is to cut the infant mortality rate in the city from 7 deaths per 1,000 children. The average in England and Wales is 4.4 per 1,000. Councillor Palmer said, "We will have discussions around each theme and members of the public will be invited to take part." Rita Patel, Assistant City Mayor for Adult Social Care, said, "This is a tangible agenda for which this board can be held to account." Plans to extend life expectancy include reducing the number of residents who smoke and working to stop young people smoking. In addition, the board will look at ways of supporting carers.
The principal of Leicester's first free school has left after less than 2 years in the post. Christopher Spall took up the job at Krishna Avanti Primary in Spencerfield Lane, Evington, when the school was launched in September 2011. Occupying part of the former Leicester Graham Junior site, the school has a Hindu ethos but takes youngsters from all faiths. The appointment of Mrs. Spall, a Christian, was seen as evidence of the school's commitment to welcoming everyone, regardless of religious background. He had been head teacher at an international primary school in Kuwait and taught in Basildon and at Loretto, a school in Scotland. The Mercury was unable to contact Mr. Spall, but Chairman of Governors Pradeep Gajjar said he had left for personal reasons. He said, "We're very grateful for the time he has been able to give us, helping to launch the school and seeing it through to its successful second year. We're very thankful for his leadership." Mr. Spall left his post at Easter following an official opening of the school by Education Secretary Michael Gove. Interim head Sally Hughes has now taken over. Mr. Gajjar said, "Sally has extensive headship experience and has delivered outstanding results. Parents were informed quickly. We are now looking for someone to fill this as a permanent role." Krishna Avanti Primary was set up by the I Foundation, which runs a school in Harrow, North London, using capital funding from the government. Free schools can be set up by charities, universities, businesses, teachers and parents, and can set their own curriculum. However, Krishna Avanti follows the national curriculum. An advert for the head teacher role placed by the school in the Times Educational Supplement states, "The role will entail leading the school to outstanding and beyond. This is a unique opportunity to help lay the foundations of a growing and innovative school." For more information, you can call Mr. Gajjar on 07812 586 790.
Second lowest death rate in the country at Glenfield. The Children's Heart Surgery Unit at Glenfield Hospital, which is set to be axed in an NHS shake-up, has the second lowest death rate in the country, figures have revealed. The data has prompted campaigners to call for the decision to shut the unit to be overturned. The figures, which cover every children's heart centre in the country, were not taken into account by the NHS panel, which decided Glenfield and three other heart centres should close as part of a review called Safe and Sustainable. However, it has emerged the figures will now be taken into account by the independent experts looking into the panel's controversial decision. The move has been welcomed by campaigners and politicians fighting to keep the Leicester Centre open. Leicester West MP Liz Kendall has written to Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt asking him to overturn the decision to close the Glenfield unit. Ms Kendall, who, along with campaigners, has been pressing the government to release information on death rates, said, "This new information proves what we have been saying for months. The Children's Heart Surgery Unit at Glenfield provides excellent standards of care. It beggars belief the unit is earmarked for closure when it has the second lowest death rate of any of the services in the country. The government must now overturn the decision. In the House of Commons yesterday, Mr. Hunt confirmed the figures would be considered by the group of independent experts called the Independent Reconfiguration Panel. The information on death rates in the children's heart centres was published on Friday by NHS England following the temporary suspension of heart surgery at Leeds General Infirmary, another of the centres earmarked for closure. Five patients due to have surgery in Leeds were transferred to Glenfield Hospital. Loughborough MP Nicky Morgan said, "At last the message is getting through. It is important people know how good Glenfield is." Eric Charlesworth of former health watchdogs The Leicester and the Leicestershire Local Involvement Networks said, "It is good news this data has been published. We have been asking for this for quite a while. The information underlines statements from Glenfield Hospital about how good it is." Robin Lotto, who has been campaigning for Glenfield, said, "Although there are lots of caveats in comparing outcomes, the data looks really good for Glenfield." Adam Tansey from Burbage, whose son Albert was born with half a heart, founded the charity Keep the Beat, which has been campaigning to keep children's heart services at Glenfield. He said, "I cannot understand why this data wasn't originally considered."
Frost prompts show fears. With a countdown ticking to the biggest horticultural event of the year, some gardeners are wondering if their plants will be ready in time. The Chelsea Flower Show takes place from May 21st to 25th. After the long, cold winter, many growers are now keeping their fingers crossed in the hope nature can help their plants catch up. Linda Smith of Waterside Nurseries in Chelmsford is going for her third gold medal this year, with a display including a tank with 800 gallons of water. However, she is worried about the size of her plants, she said. "We sell pond plants, and the ice has meant a lot of the plants aren't as high as they should be at this time of year. Things that should be 8 inches are only 2 or 3. It will affect other people at the show, but we will have to work with what we have." Some of the bigger nurseries have more heaters and lights. Chris Tyvey of Philip Tyvey & Son in Syston sells Astromelia and expects to be buying in more foreign imports for the show following the UK's extended winter. He said, "I'll be exhibiting the plants I've grown, but there will also be cut flowers in the display. Usually I can use some of my own, as Astromelias come into flower at the end of May. However, this year the weather has changed everything, and it's going to be better just to get some in from abroad. Chelsea is really good for us. Each year more people find out about us. We have a bigger range of Astromelias than most garden centres. My father started the company in the 1950s, and we've been going into Chelsea since 1985. For some growers, however, Chelsea is all about the occasion. Marilyn Berrington, who runs Oscar Copperfield Nursery in Rothley with her husband Barry, said, "We go to Chelsea to take part, and it's not really about business so much as the experience. It's a day out, and if you're a plant lover, it's nice to go." She said the cold weather had meant a lot of hard work. "We have to keep covering plants up every 5 minutes, and some are a month or so behind. There are problems all around with the weather, but we'll have flowers from Africa and Holland to take to the show." A spokeswoman for the Royal Horticultural Society said most growers were optimistic their plants would be ready in time, and visitors to the show in London would get to enjoy a few plants that would normally be over by late May. She said, "People are having to keep things in greenhouses and tunnels for longer, but they don't think the weather will be an issue. This also means things which would normally have passed by Chelsea will be flowering."